believe the time is coming when the Lord shall come again. I believe the end is nearing every day. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. Just compare today with Matthew 24, and we are living in the days he speaks about. All these things we now are hailing every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. While upon the mount of Olives his disciples came to him, saying, Master, tell us when this thing shall be. Just be ready, be watching, let each one be free from sin. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his come. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us it is a word to watch and pray. Many more shall come upon us when the end of time is here. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these today we're having, and in Matthew will appear. We should live our lives for him and sing his praise. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon us when the end of time is here. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these today we're having, and in Matthew will appear. We should live our lives for him and sing his praise. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. We hear about the war. We see the famine and the land. There's questions in the children. Trouble in the east again. The whole world is shaking. There's no safe place to stand. And the mournful sounds are heard throughout the land. But I keep listening for a different sound. The sound of the city that John saw coming down. The sound of the bride being united with the groom. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening for a different sound. I remember the preacher saying, Son, it shall come to pass. There'll come a generation that will be the last. I can't believe I'm standing here to see the end of time. And the preacher's voice still echoing in my mind. But I keep listening for a different sound. The sound of the city that John saw coming down. The sound of the bride being united with the groom. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening for a different sound. I remember the preacher saying,
that it shall come to pass. There'll come a generation that will be the last. I can't believe I'm standing here to see the end of time. And the preacher's voice still echoing in my mind. But I keep listening for a different sound. The sound of the city that jumps are coming down. The sound of the bride being united with the groom. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening for a different sound.
There's no safe place to stand. That's where we are at times. It's easier. No safe place to stand.
Yeah, it's anti-God society.
Just barely keeping on ourselves. The sound off the city. The sound of that city is the bride coming down. That's that city that John saw coming down. That's what he was looking. That's what he even went out to see. To be part of that bride. To be part of that city. That John saw coming down, that's the bride. The bride goes up in the rapture, and then just before the, then she's coming back. That's the city. It's people. People that are ready. When my soul was astray from the heavenly way, I was wretched and vile as could be. But my Savior in love gave me peace from above when he reached out his hand for me. When the Savior reached down for me, when he reached down his hand for me, I was lost and undone without God or His Son when He reached out His hand for me. I was nearing despair when He came to me there, and He showed me that I could be free. Then He lifted my feet. Give me glory complete when He reached out His hand for me. When the Savior reached down for me, when He reached down His hand for me, I was lost and undone without God or His Son when He reached down His hand. How my heart does rejoice when I hear His sweet voice. In a tempest to Him I can cling. I can lean on His arm, safe and sure from all harm, when He reached out His hand for me. When the Savior reached down for me, when He reached down His hand for me, I was lost and undone without God or His Son when He reached down His hand for me. Now my heart doth rejoice when I hear His sweet voice. In a tempest to Him I can cling. I can lean on His arm, safe and sure from all harm, when He reached down His hand for me. When the Savior reached down for me, when He reached down His hand for me, I was lost and undone. without God or Son, when he reached down his hand for me. Yeah, that's about the size of it.
Yeah, I was lost and undone.
Each one of us, every human being in the face of this earth, was lost and undone. Somewhere down a little bit to the bottom of the barrel. We've had the luxury of running into people. The Lord brought them across our path. People that everybody rejected. Nobody wanted. Right at the bottom of the barrel. Mm-hmm. And we offered them this. And it didn't last very long. Some lasted pretty good long, but eventually they went back to the world. Back into the gutter. After the Lord had shown them the way. You know how it feels to know something's missing, to hear a small voice that you just keep dismissing. You know how it feels to be troubled inside, to think just for you alone across someone died. Do you know how it feels when he knocks to surrender, how your tears washed away, never to be remembered, and know that it is real? Tell me, do you know how it feels? Then how does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your Heavenly Father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're all right when you lay your head on your pillow at night? To know that it's real, do you know how it feels? Do you know how it feels when your cold heart has melted and tears started flowing? The moment you felt it, do you know how it feels to know you've been changed, and it seems that the whole world has been rearranged? Do you know how it feels wherever you roam, you still get a feeling you're not at home, knowing heaven is real? Do you know how it feels? Then how does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your Heavenly Father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're alright when you lay your head on your pillow at night? To know that it's real, tell me, do you know how it feels? Do you know how it feels when your cold heart has melted and tears started flowing the moment you felt it? Do you know how it feels to know you've been changed, and it seems that the whole world has been rearranged? Do you know how it feels wherever you roam, you still got a feeling you're not at home, knowing heaven is real? Tell me, do you know how it feels? Then how does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your Heavenly Father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're alright when you lay your head on your pillow at night? To know that it's real, tell me, do you know how it feels? Be to the mountain, you'll not triumph over me. Be thou removed from here to yonder, be removed into the sea.
splendor disappear into the sea. Speak to the mountain, speak with authority, and the mountain must move, and you shall claim victory. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trembling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed his faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching out. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of all before his judgment seat. Be swift, my soul, to answer. Jubilant must be, our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Can you imagine singing that song and not marching on with the truth? Thousands of people are singing it. They're clueless about truth. I think that I'd said it before, but I think that was that Dave Wallace main song, his theme song. His truth is marching on, and now he was presented with truth, and he rejected truth, and his whole life was a waste of time. What a life. That's just singing the song and not walking on in truth. I presented them with truth time and time again, and he knew exactly what I presented them with, because I felt I need to tell him, because I found the truth. The first thing I did, I went and called a meeting, and then we had coffee and get together, and he rejected it. He rejected the truth, and yet he sings the song every day, like every Sunday whenever they got together. Anyway, when I was there, that's the song. That was the main theme of the song. His truth is marching on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And not marching on with truth. You and I, we're moving on with the truth. For our day, we found the ministry of Brother Branham, and then we moved on from there. The Lord guided us to the ministry of Brother Jackson, because the truth was marching on, and I was lagging behind, because I wasn't here when Brother Branham was here, but yet the Lord took me through the ministry of Brother Branham, and I was done there, and then brought me to the ministry of Brother Jackson. And we're just keeping on with the truth, because the truth is marching on, and you and I, we have to march with it, because the truth ain't going to stop, but
exactly.
Just because we sit down by a straw pile or something, the truth's going to keep marching on. That's what you're doing now. The truth is marching on. That's what you're doing. What you're doing, because we don't want to miss a beat.
Mm-hmm.
You know where that scripture is? God is not willing any should perish. The whole theme about God and Jesus. He wants everybody in heaven, but he ain't going to drag them in there. Give man that kind of freedom of choice. And most of them are deceived. Mm-hmm. They like to go there, but They're deceived by all these tugs out there, all these false preachers. False teachers. But see, we have warnings in the Bible that tells us what it's going to be like in the end time. All we got to do is have a little bit of a respect for the Word of God. It tells us exactly what's going to be. There's some good stuff in this Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. That's what it looks like right now. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. Towards the world, is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why He's waiting right to the very last minute for everybody to repent. It's just that simple. The Lord is not slow concerning His promise, as some regard slowness, but being patient toward you, because He does not wish for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Der Herr verzieht nicht die Verheißung, wie es etliche für einen Vorzug achten, sondern hat Geduld mit uns und will nicht, dass jemand verloren werde, sondern dass sie jedem Mann zur Buße kehre. That's what it's about. God is not willing any to perish, but that they would repent. They'd come to their senses. They'll one day wake up and they realize they're a sinner, man. They're headed for destruction. And like I say, that whole mass of church out there, these preachers, and I know we talk a lot about things that people don't like, but we're being honest. We're being exactly what the Bible warns us about. In the last day, there'll be false Christ, there'll be false teachers, there'll be false anointed ones, and you list them out there on the YouTube and on the John Hagees and the other right preachers. Oh man, some of them, they can really preach up a storm. But you know, if you're not interconnected with these seven stars, like we've been being, we've been in the Bible all our lives, and because, for a simple reason, we want to make it. We want to make it to that glorious rapture and to spend eternity in heaven. That's our main thing. That's why we're down here, to prepare for that final exit route out of here. And in order to be in the right side on that day, you got to go into the scriptures and find out how to get there. That's what you and I have done. Like we were talking yesterday about, there's one faith, one baptism, and there's one God. And I went on a journey to find that one faith. I knew one thing for a fact. And that other right thing was not that one faith. It was not that one baptism, because I found enough out that you got to get immersed. And the other right thing, don't immerse. They sprinkle you. And I was living in that bubble, that mass of confusion. And I went on this search, and I found out the true baptism is by immersion, next to verse 38. But see, Satan, for 2,000 years, he has managed to hide that baptism, and you can't find it. You go to all these churches here in town, there's not one that will baptize you in Acts 2:38, because Satan has managed to infiltrate the human race, infiltrate that Christianity, infiltrate the church world. And when we come along and we yank back people into reality, they think we're the problem. We're the crazy ones. But see, we're just keeping on. We're moving on with truth. When we found out God sent that prophet, and then that prophet taught us, you got to go back to the Word. You got to go back to water baptism in Jesus' name, because it's been completely lost for the last 2,000 years. Ever since the apostles went off the scene, like they warned, after our departure, these grievous woe will come in, and they're gonna upset that whole apple cart, because behind it is driven by the spirit of Satan to pervert everything. And before you know it, he brought the whole Christian world into the dark ages. And the true Christians, they had to go underground, and they had to be butchered and slaughtered for throughout the dark ages. Mm-hmm. Just that simple. And then God began to restore through these angels, really. This is the This is going to be eternal life that they believe in them, I will send. And then Martin Luther comes along and he starts turning that ship around and bring it back to what you and I believe here today, that God sent a prophet, that God sent these seven angels, and now here later, yeah, he sent us William Branham, and then he sent us, then they continued on with Brother Raymond M. Jackson, and we're just putting the finishing touches to it, because it's the final chapter before, that's all that's left, and then where do you go, what's going to happen here, very shortly, probably even this, whenever that rapture happens, then it goes into a different avenue. It goes into, blessed is he that dies in the Lord from henceforth, and you're going to have to give your life, and you're going to have to be martyred to get to heaven, because it talks about that sea of glass. See, you and I, we have the full counsel of God, and all we're doing on a day-to-day basis, we're putting it out there just as plain as daylight. Evidently, wants to find out, wants to know, but see, the problem is Satan has deceived the masses that they when we come along, we tell them the truth, the truth is even spoken of, it's sped on, it's looked down on, but here, in this closing, we'd ordained them God to do exactly what we're doing here, and we're doing it gladly, because we have no other job to do. That's just a matter of the fact. Mm-hmm. Just that simple. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this another day of life, for the many things you have done for us and still doing, Lord, that you've allowed us to see the end time picture, Lord. You allowed us to see exactly the day and hour we're now living in, because when you were here, you wept over Jerusalem because they did not recognize the hour that they were living in. And today it's the same thing, but Lord, you, by your grace, our hunger and our thirst to know things, you've given us the midnight cry, you've given us right to the day where we're living in. Like we keep saying, Lord, we don't know the day of the rapture, we don't have to know. All we need to know is the day when you're going to once again restore Israel. And you've given us the understanding of where we are in time. That's all we ever ask for, Lord. And by your grace, you've given us, you've allowed us to see that, and now you've given us the grace to put it out there on a day-to-day basis, because we have something that's worth talking about. And we just pray, Lord, you just continue to do it as you see fit, because we don't have no program, we don't have no agenda, we don't got nothing to fall back on. The only thing we got to fall back on is the word of truth, put it in our world living, Lord. And I just pray you'll open the hearts of the people, and I just pray you'll get that increase. Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God is not willing any should perish. That's why we're doing what we're doing. If Jesus was here, he would do the same thing. He had such a compassion for the human race that he put everything out on the line, gave his life on Calvary, just so that we don't have to go to hell. That's what this whole thing is about. He wants every human being on the face of this earth to make it. He's not willing that any should perish. That's why we're doing what we're doing. We go to the ends of the earth. If we knew only one soul that has a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. This is about 4 or 5 years back. I had a burning in my heart. There was something and over in Israel. And I didn't know at the time what it was. It was the Lord just compelling me for weeks and weeks, he was compelling me to go to Israel. So finally we got our air tickets, and we got the arrangements, and we booked our flights, and we booked our apartments, and then we went to Israel, not knowing what the Lord wants us to go to Israel. And we went there. We had a room in Tel Aviv, and then pretty well every day we would drive up to Jerusalem and to the Temple Mount, and because we knew what the Lord wanted us, there's something up in Jerusalem, there's something God has for us there. And we didn't know what it was, we just felt moved to go up to Jerusalem. And then here, there, we were there for 2 months, and then I think it was 6 weeks, we were 6 weeks in, and then we went down to the Temple Mount one Friday night, and there, lo and behold, there's these two girls from Germany, and They were the two people that the Lord moved on us to go to Israel, just to talk to these two people, these two girls from Germany. And then we started talking. We talked for about an hour and talked about the Lord Jesus Christ and how it works. That these two people, the Lord sent us to Israel just for the simple reason for these two girls there from Germany. And then after that, we were ready to go home, because we did our mission, because God is not willing that any should perish. And we go to the ends of the earth, but see, the problem is, there's nobody out there that has a hunger, and we put our radar on every day, like the Lord be dealing with me about going to see that that guy that shot his wife, you know. And it took the Lord about a number of years to bring me down to the place where I was willing to go and visit that guy in that prison. So finally, last week, we just took the bull by the horns and we got in the car and we started going down there. Now, the thing of it is, the wheels are in motion. We didn't get to see it, but we got the paperwork done that we can actually, once it takes about 2-3 weeks, and then they'll send us a form or something, and they'll let us know that it's okay to go down and visit the man. Mm-hmm. We were singing that song, he reached right down for me. That's what God does. He reaches way down to the bottom of the barrel, and the people that we've associated with here, we had them in our circle there for a while, like that Kenneth. These are bottom of the barrel people that nobody wants anymore. He wanted to join that Windy Bay crew. They didn't want them. And then some way, one day, I got acquainted with him, and I invited him along and took him to convention, and he was with me for about 3 years. And one day I noticed he's becoming instead of being an asset, he became a negative. He started spreading lies about me and being a negative. But see, what God did, he reached right down to the bottom of the bar when nobody wanted him, and he was a pretty good asset there for a while, but one day he got crazy, and he told me right to my face, I'm going to go around, see if I can't find any garbage from you. I said, go for it, if that's what you want, if that's what you're about. And now, where's he at now? He just took a detour, went back in the gutter again, and the same with that Jeremy guy. He was right at the bottom of the barrel, so demon-possessed. Nobody wanted him, and the Lord moved on us to take him in and to teach him about the things that has eternal value. And it looked good there for a bit, but before you know it, as soon as he's out the door, he sees how he can slander us. But God does his part. He reaches right to the bottom of the barrel, and there's that Joni. You know, everybody knows her. She's been married 3-4 times. And there again, we had an encounter with her, and there for a while, she was doing pretty good. And then all of a sudden, she just completely, just a hypocrite, just turned against us. And but still, the Lord has moved on us to reach right down to the bottom of the barrel, right at the very last, like that song said, he reached way down for me. And now we're in the process of reaching down to that guy that shot his wife. Like I say, it took the Lord a few years for me to condition me that I would go down to such a tremendous, go down to the bottom of the barrel and see if we can't do nothing for that guy that tried to drive here 10, 15 years ago. And hopefully we'll have an encounter with him. But see, the Lord, he reaches right down because he's not willing that anybody should perish. And that's been our song, and that's all we're doing. We've got our radar on. We'll go to the ends of the earth if we can only find a person that has a hunger and a thirst for the things of God.
Well, that's what Jesus came to do. He didn't come for those that were whole. He came for those who are sick and needed help, you know. And you can see that a lot of these people that Jesus helped, like the woman at the well, how many husbands did she have, and the life that she was living, and all the ones that Jesus healed, those that demon possessed man with a legions of demons that he had, he was possessed with, and a lot of them, when he healed them, he said, go and sin no more, unless something worse befalls you. I see, mm-hmm. that's who Jesus came for the broken, so that he can make them whole. But it's up to a person to, once Jesus does something for you, to pursue the things of God, so that you don't fall back into that way of living, because the devil is always there. Don't kid yourself that the devil, the enemy, is not there to drag you back into that lifestyle that you were in. That's what he is. But if you don't put an effort in the things of God to daily strive for that goal, and do things for the Lord, and you'll fall back into that lifestyle again.
That's why we get up in the morning. That's why we have to put something in, because the flesh, the devil and the world is going to drag you back right into the gutter if you're not spiritual, or if you're not on top of things, if you don't fast and pray and try to keep your senses alert so that the devil cannot come in. That's why we're in this word every day, because that's why we get up in the morning. That's why we're doing the things we're doing, so that at the end of the day, we'll stand and the devil won't be able to trip us up. That's the bottom line. That's why we're doing what we're doing, because even you and I, God is not willing and he should perish. Jesus is not willing and he should perish. And you and I are not willing that any should perish, because that's why we're doing what we're doing, trying to wake people up, trying to alert them. But see, we got an enemy out there. Everywhere we go, the truth is evil spoken of, because we're bringing out the truth, and all of a sudden we're the problem. And we're the remedy, not the problem. And then we look down upon us, troublemakers and whatever, but see, we just got to keep on going, because everything, you commit it to the Lord. You do what the Lord wants you to do, and no matter about the slander, no matter about what people talk bad about us, that doesn't matter, because it says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you and lie about you, because great is reward in heaven. That's why you and I, we're doing, that's why we went on this trip here, because there's people there that we wanted to see, like that, we went to see, that, like I was telling yesterday, we went to see that Leonard Decker, because I knew him from way back, but see, along the road alive, he decided he wants to go down the materialistic mm-hmm. life, and like I said yesterday, I wanted to pick him up, take him down to the convention, let him know there's something outside of the materialistic, because I'd read my Bible all the way, all my life. And I kind of know that material thing, that material life, it's not where it's at. It'll only satisfy you for a little bit. Then he took the wrong curve, but here we went down there to see him last week, and oh man, he's so consumed with materialism, and like Mary told, Jesus told Martha, Mary, she made a better decision. She wants, all she wants is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we keep saying that scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. All the material things, when you got the heart, the horse before the cart, everything that you need for daily living is going to be added onto you. Mm-hmm. Plus, on top of it, shaken down, shaken together, completely overloaded. Everything that you and I have, we got enough to go on a day-to-day basis, because we sought the kingdom of God. When the kingdom of God is that born-again experience, and the righteousness, and its righteousness, is the truth for your day, and we found that, mm-hmm. and we have absolutely no problem with finances. We have no problem. We got everything, and we got food and raiment. And it says, if you got food and raiment, you should be contented with it. You got to tap into that code. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto mm-hmm. you. And we tapped into that code, and we found it works. It works 100% for you and I, and it worked for everybody that would only be willing to surrender their life and seek first that kingdom and its righteousness. And its righteousness is the truth for your day. And we got that, and like I say, we got everything else on and on. Trust safety, right. 24-hour bodyguard, peace, and joy unspeakable, full of glory. We got nothing to complain about. Just that simple. Mm-hmm.
And just imagine, like, how the lilies of the fields and all, they have more beautiful raiment than Solomon in all his riches had, you know. People put so much emphasis in riches and wealth, that, you know, the things of God are more beautiful when He does something for you and your life and how He leads you. Like, our first and foremost thing was always in life to follow the ways of God, mm-hmm. to see what He has for our lives. And that was our desire. And that's why God could lead us to the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson. See, when you have all kinds of different irons in the fire, then you're distracted by these things. You're distracted by making a name for yourself. You're distracted by wealth and building all the things that the world looks at as being accomplished. Mm-hmm. See, when you look at the wealthy people and people, the world looks at them as accomplished people. To us, they would look as we're just like just ordinary people. But, you know, if you pursue the things of God, and that's what we wanted, in it, there is that wealth. Because in the heavenly things, you're building a mansion in heaven. Well, that's why it says where the rust and the mud can't get to and the thieves can't break through and steal. The thieves can't get in and steal, and neither can any natural disaster destroy what you're building, because it's a heavenly building. And that's what our desire, because we put it all out there on the altar. We put it all out there, Lord. We're going to put it all on the altar of sacrifice and follow your ways. Mm-hmm. And then He led us right to where He was at, to the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson. And I can honestly say in my heart, you know, there's nothing that I lack. There's nothing that I lack in life. The Lord's always been there for me, over and abundant. Like it says, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, because we sought the things of God and His righteousness. And I'm so grateful for the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson, because in it, there are so many things that my heart was wanting to understand and know about God, that they were able to open up the Word of God and our understanding. And who could want for anything more in this life than to get to know who our Heavenly Father is? To a lot of people, He's God, and this, that, and the other. But to us, He's our Heavenly Father, because He cares for us, and He clothes us, and He gives us raiment and everything, and He provides for us because we sought first that kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He added all these things onto us, yeah, all these blessings.
Exactly, right. Somewhere you had to make a decision. When you go back, you take inventory of your life. Mm-hmm. Somewhere there was a starting point that put you on that course here that we're on, that you and I are on. You're the only person that on planet Earth that will agree with me. Even I did the same thing. There came a time in my life I just wanted to follow Jesus because I knew where everything else went. And the same with you. There came a day when you had to make a decision. You had a starting point to put you where you are today. And your brother asked you, Laren, what are you going to do with your life? Are you going to get married, or what are you going to do? And you flat out told him, I'm going to see what Jesus had for me. See, then that because you made that decision and you made that verbal confession and you meant it, I want to see what Jesus has for me. I don't want to go down that marriage path. I don't want to go down that dimension because you see, you open your eyes and looked around, there was nothing there that would really excite you to the point where you was willing to give your life for it. So you decided, I'm going to see what Jesus has for me. And that doing that, that put you on the course, baby. Like I say, somewhere you had to have a starting point, and it came right when you made that verbal confession, I'm going to see what Jesus had for you, for me. And he didn't let you down. He didn't allow you to go into becoming a doctor or becoming a nurse or becoming a lawyer or going down that materialistic path. He just led and guided you to the ministry of Brother Branham, the church age message for your day, and the message for your day, and then he brought us together, and now we're about the Lord's business. We're just waiting for our next assignment, and like today we're going to go into Winnipeg and see that lady that her husband died here a few years back, somebody that we used to know. We're about the Lord's business. That's all we care about. That's why we went down to South Dakota, because the Lord had been moving on us, and we made ourselves available, willing, and able. And mm-hmm. we got the goods to deliver, because we have given up everything already in this world. And now the Lord can use us to send us out in the harvest and bring in the harvest, because, you see, the harvest is ripe, but the labors are few, and we made ourselves available because we fit the bill. We found that kingdom and its righteousness, and now we can tell people, whosoever will, let him come. We're willing and able and ready to go wherever he sends us. It's just that simple, because we got nothing else to do. That's our whole life is consumed up to be about the Lord's business. It's just that simple.
That's right. And that's why, like I said, all these, like I had a lot of ambitions. Like I had a lot of ambitions, like I'd say more than most people. Like I wanted to be like a doctor or a lawyer, something that's important so people would look up. But all this is not valued as nothing. Like Paul said, all this is dung compared to the ways of God. And that's why I said, all these things you have to put on the altar of sacrifice, and you sacrifice them, and then God opens up a door for you where he will lead, you will follow. And it's a beautiful path, because every day is exciting, because God, when you talk to people about the Lord and about his ways, there is no greater joy in life than to be able to fellowship around the things of God. That's why you see all this chaos around the world, is people have forgotten God, and they put him on the side, on the sideline, so he's just there when it's convenient for them. And that's why there is such a society and such darkness out there in the world, because America rejected the prophet, they rejected his message, what he had for the world, and it would have been a beautiful light, like that, like the moons that Brother Branham saw there, that moon for Laodicea would have been all light, lit it up, bright light, if they would have accepted the message that God had for Laodicea. But because they rejected it, that darkness set in. You could see, literally feel the darkness set in America when they rejected the prophet. And the result of it, you can see now, there is such animosity among the people in America, even amongst the conservative party. There's such a division. You can see how a lot of people are separating from the path of righteousness and listening to the voices of Satan. Like you can see Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, you can see even Megyn Kelly, and people like that. They are very dangerous people. They lead people astray instead of unifying the people and and building it up, the country, they are actually tearing it down, what Trump is trying to do. Trump is not the bad guy here, but he's made out to be the bad guy. He's just trying to work for righteousness. It's Obama that's the enemy, the monster that is creating behind the scene all this division in America. Because you can see the minute this is this another attempt at assassination was on Trump's life, what happened was Obama stuck his head out from the sand there. You can see how God is bringing Obama out of the woodwork, because he's behind all that. He was behind that stealing the election and everything. Somehow Obama has his dirty
hand. He's the head of the snake.
He's got his dirty hand into everything.
Yeah. And someday he'll be hanging at the lynching pole.
That's
hopefully
right.
They'll bring in,
and that's where
he'll
he's
bring
coming
back
to.
The death penalty for treason. He's there's that number one treason. And it's all happening now because Jesus is on the throne. He's no more in the seat of mercy, and he's no more. It's no more the grace age. We're now to Jesus Christ is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the process is going forward, and before you know it, it'll be a millennium where Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's already King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he just hasn't taken the position yet. It's all moving towards that millennial reign. And you're now in the week of Daniel and the restoration of all things. And this is like you and I. We know where we are in time. Now we can say these things that Jesus Christ is now back into the restoration of all things. Not just Israel. This thing that's going on over in Israel. At the end of the day, they'll have their land back. They'll build their temple and they'll do exactly what the Word of God says. Because we're living in that time frame when everything, all that has to be fulfilled. And America, they're going to go exactly into that civil war that George Washington's vision. We got it on our internet. We got it's out there for anybody that wants it. Just punch in on your internet, on your YouTube, whatever, and find George Washington's vision. And you're going to see exactly what's coming over America. These thugs, these Obamas, and these crooks, and these backstabbers, and these treasonous people, they'll be hanging on the lynching posts. And just that simple. And we're living in that hour of time where all these things are being exposed. But back from the day you and I decided we want to follow Jesus. And before we did that, we all had to make a decision. I was in that Hutterite colony, and I looked at everything, and I analyzed everything. And if you're in that colony, the only thing, if you have any ambition at all, the only thing you could ever become, if you want to reach your podium, the heights that you could ever become, is everybody wants to be a preacher. Once you get, and I looked at that too, and I observed everything. Let's say I do become someday, become a preacher, and then you're not satisfied because you haven't reached the full potential. And then, of course, that spirit, what you want to do then, you want to become an elder. You want to become an elder. You want to become a pope. And all you ever become is a Jake Kleinsauser number two. That's the highest form that you could be in that system. And I looked at it, and I decided I don't want no part of it. I put it all those ambitions on the altar of sacrifice, like you were saying. You put them on that altar, and because it'll come to nothing, and you say, Lord, do it me as you see fit, I'm putting that on the altar of sacrifice. That's what you have to do with that, with these ambitions that you have and these daydreamers and all that stuff. You put it on the altar of sacrifice, and then you back away from it, and you say, Lord, you do with me as you see fit. Thy will be done. And that's what you and I, that's the precision that you and I have. That's all we're interested in. We want to be about the Lord's business. Because it's the only thing that brings joy unspeakable and full of glory.
And that's right.
That's just a matter of the fact. That's Amen. Just where you and I are at. Mm-hmm. But if people make fun of us, that's all right. I don't mind at all. After a while, it becomes a... you get used to it. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
That's just a matter of... that's just the nature of the beast. Mm-hmm. It's just that simple.
That's right. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you and we just want to give you thanks, Lord. And we just want to be of service to you, just like Jesus said, to do thy will, O Father. And that's our hearts and our longing, Lord, to be of service for the King, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and for those that you might lead us to, Lord, just like that man down in the prison, Lord, and his family, Lord, and so on, Lord. Where you lead, Lord, we just want to be of service to you and to your kingdom, Lord. We just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.